Yes, God is so, so good. And we want today to be just fresh and spontaneous. We really don't know what's going to happen. Ron's like, what verses to put on the screen. And I'm like, we're winging it. Yeah. Okay, so let's start off with, welcome back, ladies. Thank you to all of the women who came and spent the weekend here Friday night and Saturday. Some could only come Friday, some could only come Saturday, so there was a lot of women in and out depending on their schedules, and some could stay the whole time, so that was beautiful. And our theme was Ephesians 3:16, being rooted and grounded in God's love. And as you see, we have two visible examples. These are plants that have roots, as you can tell. And for those of you who remember this little plant, last year he was dying. This year he's coming back and he's quite rooted and grounded. I can like pull the whole thing up. So, you know, we need to be rooted and grounded in God's love. Over here, thanks to Pauline's beautiful arrangement here, these are beautiful cut flowers and they're beautiful now, right? These were beautiful December 3rd when my daughter got married. Priscilla. Oh, yeah, Priscilla's married. Priscilla is Mrs. Bazin right now. Yes, welcome, Mrs. Bazin. Anyway, these are her flowers that were beautiful. They're still beautiful, but they're dead. And so this table over here represents, you know, we may think that we're doing okay, but if we're not rooted and grounded in God's love, we will shrivel up and die. So we want to choose God's love and we want to get rid of anything that is hindering, anything that in our life that is hindering us from receiving that love. Because God's love is never ending, always, it's wide, it's long, it's deep, it's high, never ending. And his invitation to us is always, baby, where are you? Where are you? I need my hug. His invitation to us is always like this, arms outstretched. But it's the things, sin, stuff that we carry around that gets in the way of us really receiving that love. And so that's what we talked about yesterday, some of the things that we need to take away. And sometimes they're little things, like little thoughts that say, I'm unworthy, or I'm not enough. Or maybe they're idols. Maybe good things. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your kids. You know, anything. What is hindering you from receiving God's love? So we had this example a lot last weekend. So Ricardo is God, and he is ever,
I'm not God,
ever reaching out.
You all got the idea.
Yes, he's representative of God right here, and an invitation to love us always, 24/7. And me, all I have to do is take a step forward, right, and receive this.
Receive
love.
It.
Oh, it's just so good. It's just so good.
I know.
But you know, sometimes we're like this, right?
Have you ever tried to hug someone who doesn't want you to hug them?
You know, sometimes we're just kind of stiff and, you know.
I know my kids used to do that to me. You hug them, they're like.
Not now, though. Not anymore.
I say use. It feels so good. Like, they receive. It's like you give them a hug. It's like,
I mean, it's the best thing ever. Like Emily, my little niece Emily, she came into our house. And, well, I actually saw her at church Friday night, and she just ran to me and ran into my arms. You know, that's an example of, you know, I saw that, and I was like, that's how it is. That's how God wants it. He wants us to run to him, no matter how we feel, no matter what's going on, to let him be our safe place. So before I go any further, I just want to introduce my mom. She's here. They came for the weekend. And with my youngest sister, Larissa, and she came with her two daughters, Isabella and Emily. Say hi, Emily. Yes. again, and little Isabella. And then Priscilla came as well. So we were so excited, my oldest daughter Priscilla. So all three of my kids are right there. So just love it so much for those of you that don't know. You want to?
Sure. I mean, look at these. Mm-hmm. I want you guys to look at the flowers mm-hmm. and see the difference. Yeah. You know, can the ladies, they talk about this a little bit next to Pauline. This is beautiful. Let's see if it smells good. Yeah, it's got a little smell, you know. This is pretty, right? And this might be your stage of life, you know, where everything is so pretty. But we all knew these flowers are from the rosebush tree. And they, when they were hooked or still plugged to the tree, there was no doubt they would not die. Why? Because they were, you know, they were rooted into the tree. But somebody had this grand idea they should be selling the roses and cut them and made a beautiful bouquet with it. So we go to the store and buy it. And these, we already know what's going to happen to them. Eventually, I hear people say you add Mountain Dew at the root, you add Sprite, Walt's not here, Dr. Pepper, you know. But it really doesn't matter how much you doctorate or how much you make sure these stays alive. They will dry up. And spiritually, that's not where you want to be. There are a lot of people in the church that have gotten to this stage. And what the Lord's telling you for the season, this is a season for you to grow. I mean, these, they're a lost case. Right?
I love them.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter how Kendra tried to put them together, find beauty. I go in Alyssa's room. She's got a bunch of dry flowers hanging on the wall. It's good. They're pretty. But they are
dead.
They are dead flowers. What God wants you is for you to be what? Rooted in Him.
There we go. Yeah, we had T-shirts. The guys had T-shirts. Let's see. Linda, stand up for a second. Okay. Me and her had T-shirts like that that say deeply rooted. And then Pauline, you've got one on. Yes. And many other. You want to stand up and model your shirt. There we go.
Yeah,
yes.
Put you on the spot.
Yes. Ephesians 3:16. Let's read that. Ron, you want to put that up on the screen?
And we want you to remember these beautiful flowers, mm-hmm. dry one, and some that are still rooted in the dirt.
Yeah. So verse 17 in the Passion says, then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. So that faith that you have in Jesus Christ, because He is a good Father. Because He is a good Father. That faith that you have in Him. The life of Jesus Christ will be released deep inside of you. And that's what we all need. That's what's going to keep us alive. The life of Jesus Christ. And then what's going to happen? It's going to become the resting place of His love. Because each one of our hearts has a hole, has a place specially made for God's love. And if you don't fill it with God's love, you're going to fill it with something else. You're going to fill it with something else. You're going to fill it with, I don't know, work, passion for money, lusts of the flesh, bad relationships, lots of TV, I don't know, whatever. You're going to have to find, you know, we are created to be addicted to God's love. Why is it we can come here every Sunday and we feel, me anyway, I feel like, even though we sing in this maybe a lot of the same songs, it's always new, it's always fresh, because God's life is addicting, and we're supposed to be addicted to that love. And when we have faith that God is a good father and he has saved us, we are filled with that life, and it becomes, our heart becomes the resting place of his love. And that love becomes the very source and root of our life. It becomes the very source and root of our life. And we also talked about the first question that God ever asked humanity in the garden in Genesis 3. He was talking to Adam and Eve, and they had just sinned, and they were hiding their shame. They were hiding in fear. And God came down into the garden and he asked, "Where are you?" Don't you think he knew where they were? Don't you think he knew which tree they were hiding behind, or where they were? God knew. And if you research that phrase, "where are you," in the Hebrew, this is what it means. Where have you gone? Where are you in relation to me? Where have you gone that's taken you further away from me? Where are you when the expectation was that you and I were always to be together? That's God's love. Mm-hmm. The expectation, when God made you and created each one of you, his expectation was for you and him to always be together, rooted and grounded in his love. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. No sickness, no persecution. We talked about looking at life through the lens of God's love. When crazy things happen to you, if you don't realize that you are rooted and grounded in God's love, you're going to be bitter. You're not going to come out of that situation better and stronger with your roots grounded in him. You're going to come out bitter, hating people, hating the world, hating God, and drying up and being miserable, even though you come to church every single day. You have to use that faith. That faith that is inside of you produces the life of Christ. And that's where his love can sit, and it's rooted and it's grounded in you. And anything that takes you away from that position is evil.
That's right.
It's wrong.
Come on.
And we spent all day yesterday talking about the things that are separating us from the love of God. Mm-hmm. Laura came and talked to us about roots of bitterness, roots of shame, roots of rejection, weeds that come into our hearts and take space and room and nutrients and water and light that are supposed to be for God and his love. And then Peggy came and talked to us about the Holy Spirit. Because once you get rid of these things, there's empty spaces, right? You got to plant it now with the Holy Spirit. You have to be rooted and grounded in that power. Like, it was such a powerful time. And we learned that it's not just a weekend thing to do. This is a lifestyle. A lifestyle of putting your faith in Christ. A lifestyle of forgiving others. A lifestyle of asking God to forgive you. A lifestyle of thinking, why am I doing what I'm doing? What is my motive? Like we shared with them that when we went to the pastor's retreat, Pastor Kenton gave us a list of maybe 10 things. And they were questions to help us think, why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we pastoring the way that we are pastoring? Why are we loving the way that we're loving? Is it because we need control? Do we need attention? Terrible things. And then one of them, both of us identified with them. Right away, we repented. Because even though there are good things that you're doing in your life, sometimes stuff happens and all of a sudden you start thinking the wrong way. And pretty soon, if you're not careful, that root is going to grow and distort your thinking and distort the truth. And so we've got to be constantly putting ourselves in the light. There's another verse that we looked at. We read Psalm 139. Love it. And we took so much time Saints, you need time. You know, when you have your devotions, don't just spend 5 minutes. Okay? Devotions, what I say the other day during announcements, the Bible doesn't even tell us to have devotions. The Bible says to abide in me. It's not something you do in the morning and check it off and like, hey, I'm done. I had my God time. Now let me go do my stuff. No, you abide with Jesus all day long. You're in your car. You're working. It's that presence. Let us become more aware of your presence. It's that.
Right here. Once again, the same example. It doesn't matter how long we gonna make these flowers have devotion with water.
Yes.
They won't survive.
Right.
You have to abide.
That's right.
It doesn't matter how good of a pastor you might have. Oh, I love my church. I know you do. It doesn't matter if you're not abiding.
Yes.
You will dry up.
Yeah.
You will get burned. Can I have a witness?
Yes.
Can I have a better witness?
Amen.
Yes. You will dry up. You will get burned out. You will get discouraged. Children burn fuel. When I'm talking about fuels, I'm talking about energy, you know, life. Work burn fuels. Responsibility burn fuels. Even like Sunday morning, I come here. I don't come here to work. I came here to minister to the Lord. Because if I don't operate from that perspective, guess what? When we're done, I'm going to be like, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm so done. We do not operate. I'm growing my roots deep in the Lord.
Yes.
Whether I'm working at your job, you know, each of you got your responsibilities. Because if you don't, you will dry up. And eventually you're going to die. And Jesus said, if you die, guess what they're going to do to you? They're going to use you to start a nice little fire. This is serious stuff, guys. Take it to heart. Let's go to Psalm 139. What does it say? Last verse, right?
It says, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. This needs to be a lifestyle. So we stay rooted and grounded in God's love. God, I invite you. Look at my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden, even within me. You know, sometimes I don't see what's wrong with me, or I don't see that, but God does, and he's faithful to reveal that to you. Put me to the test and sift through all of my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain that I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting way, the path that brings me back to you. Guys, it was so encouraging just for me since, I guess, December. I've been thinking about this and planning, and it's just been so life-giving to pour over the scriptures, to just seek God and apply it to me. You know, how can I stand up in front of you and tell you, this is what the word says, to examine your heart, and then me, I'm not? No, that's being a hypocrite. It has been so life-giving for me to plan this. And then even yesterday, I sat with all the women and checked off a bunch.
I am telling you, he created, I'm just sharing with you my crazy thought patterns.
Come on.
I have them. But he created me that way, guys. He did. And he liked what he created. And everything that you think is not the best of you, or everything that you think, oh, man, Jesus really messed up with that. Why did he do that? God created you, and he likes you.
Come on.
Okay? He likes you. He's got a twinkle in his eye with you. When you wake up in the morning, he's excited to see you because he likes you. In your thoughts, in your flaws, he knows it. Don't hide it from him. Just talk to him about it, because he likes you. He wants you to be with him. He likes you. So I'm working on that thought pattern. Sandra, again, thank you for reminding us that the accuser tries to get it. I am not my mistakes. I make mistakes. I make bad choices. But I am not my bad choices. I am a daughter of God, and He likes me. Remember.
Thank you, Ange. Thank you. Here comes Priscilla. So, actually, you can sit right there.
When I was 6 years old, I got a new baby doll for Christmas, and she was Chatty Cathy, and my daddy said she's just like you. So
should I call you Chatty Cathy?
You can call me anything you want.
All right. Your name's changed.
You're my boss. In more ways than one. And I love my Chatty Cathy. The difference in my life now is that I'm Crybaby Cathy. And I get to follow Angela, who comes in and goes, hello. And she's all bubbly and cute. And I'm going to get up here and cry like a baby. The verse you just read a few minutes ago that said, you know, what on your pathway is drawing you away from me? Or what pathway are you on? And for the past almost a year, it'll be a year in April, I've been on a pathway of sorrow and sadness. The path has overwhelmed me, has broken my heart. My heart breaks every single day. For those of you who don't know, I have a grandson who's 11 years old and he has leukemia. And he's had a really, really hard time. His name is Parker. Many of you have prayed for him, and I thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And right this minute, he's doing well, and I praise God for that. And I trust. He actually went to school 3 days this week. He went to school 3 days at the beginning of the year. Everybody got sick in the classroom. He hasn't been back since. And he has had a very hard time. He went to the Super Bowl. I mean, really.
That's awesome.
Nobody asked me to go with him. I'm a nurse. Why didn't I get to go? Did his daddy call and say, hey, Mom, I would really feel better if you'd be with Parker? No. No, he didn't. He said, I'll send you pictures. And he did. And he was really worried about taking him. And I told him, I said, Marty, if God allows Parker to get on that plane to go to the Super Bowl, he will keep him. He'll be fine. If he's well enough to go, you go and have a good time. And for the first time in a long time, I saw joy in my son's eyes. It's not just my grandbaby. It's my boy and his wife and their daughter. But, you know, I came here thinking, I trust God. I am deeply rooted. I am good. I pray every day. I talk to Him. I cry out to Him. I beg Him. I plead with Him. I rejoice with Him. I sing with Him. But my heart's broken. I have a sister-in-law in Georgia that's dying. I'm waiting for a call any minute. And that circle of life, you know, that as one leaves, there's a new one. It's done me a lot of good to see your baby. Thank you for bringing her. Thank you for Emily. I'm so glad you were here. But a path of sadness will take you places you don't want to be. It'll take you into a path of isolation.
Yep.
I've withdrawn from people. It's not that I don't love people. You know I do. I've talked to all of you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like these flowers. I put on a good face. And I have a lot of fun. And I laugh. And I go home and just think, God, who am I? And why me? Why them? Why him? Mm-hmm. And I fight that. I fight it hard. And I'm here to tell you, God wins the race. God wins the thoughts every day. And I don't tell you these things to make you sad or to make you feel sorry for me or anybody else, but to let you know that even at the worst times, There's joy.
That's right.
There's joy. And that God steps in and rescues me every day. And I am eternally grateful. And I'm thankful for the time I had here. I wasn't feeling well. I didn't come to the whole thing. And even when I came yesterday afternoon, I thought, you know, maybe you should have stayed home. But sometimes home isn't where you need to be. So I just thank you. I thank every one of you that participated for the great food.
Yes.
For the great talks. And for allowing me to be Crybaby Kathy.
That's so good. Thank you, Kathy. Oh, can I add something? Let me add something before Priscilla. Yeah, Priscilla, you can come up. I said it here already, and I'm going to repeat it. I'll keep repeating myself. Eventually, we'll get it. It is a dangerous place to be. It's a very dangerous place to be, either in your mind or your attitude, to think, oh, I got this in God. Oh, yeah, I know this. Oh, I'm so okay with Jesus. Even if you feel okay with Jesus, get desperate. Dig deeper. Deep cry out to deep. Deep cry out to deep. There is more. It's a very dangerous place to be. To think, oh, I've been there, done that in Jesus. There is no such a thing. You can always encounter Jesus anew every day. And that's what will keep you in revival. A heart who is that is desperate for Christ will encounter revival. So, get desperate. Thank you two for being vulnerable. You know, it's like sometimes church, you know, Sunday morning service, we put it in a box. Everybody wants to. Pretty. But something we don't understand, eventually, doesn't matter how Pauline give these flowers, devotion with water, Dr. Pepper. What else they use? Coca-Cola? Aspirin? Spray? Whatever you put in it? Sprite? They will die. Let's go, Priscilla.
Good morning. First of all, Friday night was just amazing. I wasn't able to make it Saturday. I wasn't able to make it Saturday because I had to work. But first of all, I want to thank you, Kendra, for having God allow you to bring that to us. And listen, thank you for the praise and worship. It was awesome. I mean, you could felt the presence of God. I know every woman in here, we experience a different presence. God spoke to us in different ways. And forgive me if I start crying because I know God loves me. And to be rooted in Jesus, when I gave God my life, when I prayed the prayer of salvation, when I repeated God as my Christ, my Lord and Jesus, and received him in my heart with the Holy Spirit came into my heart to live inside. And I'm going to go back a little bit to my childhood because I had something different I was going to say, but God works in mysterious ways. He just revealed to me when I was a child, I was adopted. My mother walked out on me. She left me with her aunt and said, go get her. And through the years, my aunt finally told me what had happened. And it took me a long time to understand why did she do that. But then God showed me. I forgave her once I understood the love of God. By her giving me away, she could have been showing me love because she couldn't take care of me. So she gave me to someone
who could do what she couldn't do. And my father, I met my father later on during life, and he wasn't a father image, like a sister and a brother type thing. But it goes all back to this. See, God knew this day and time that he's my father. He showed me through Friday night, God is my father. I am in the family of God, no matter what I went through.
Come on.
But what I'm experiencing right now,
praise Lord.
God loves me. He loves me more than I love myself. He loves me more than anyone else in this room can love me. He will never separate from me. He's always with me no matter what. And I used to have a spirit of fear. He delivered me from that fear.
That's right.
He said he hasn't given me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And I thank God so much for Friday night, because I feel like he just revived my whole spirit, man. I have a whole different look on God right now, okay?
Praise the Lord.
And I just thank God, and I thank him for bringing me to Restoration Church. Because guess what? He restored my life.
That's right.
And, you know, I just want to sing this. You know, this is always, I'm not a singer, but I just want to say this
Come on,
to God,
sing.
Okay?
Let's go. Sing.
I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, God, I love you more than anything. And I love you, Jesus. And I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything.
Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. Can you say with me, praise the Lord? Oh, come on, let's try it. Let's say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Help me out. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you, that's right. We give him glory and praise because, I tell you, we need this kind of encounter. So good.
First of all, I just want to recognize that we are praying for you. Everybody comes to these things in different walks, and you know the important thing is walking with Jesus hand in hand. Good morning. How are my seeds doing? We're all growing, right? So John 19, verse 2, I'm going to share shortly. But first, I want to tell you that what I got out of the weekend was I'm loved by God. Not only that, I am bought with a price.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is he loves me with no second, third, or fourth thought, no doubt. On Friday night, my mind was very messed up. I was thinking all these negative thoughts all day, all week. But when Jesus died for our sins, yes, he did that. But his nails represented the pain and the agony. When the nails went in between the ligaments and the bones. But the stripes, they show healing, Isaiah 53. And then the last thing is his healing repeats. But that crown, I saw that crown on that screen on Friday night, and I just knew there had to be a meaning. So I looked up my dictionary. It was the Bible. And he first led me to this verse, John 19, verse 2. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. That soldier represents the enemy. Because the enemy will twist the truth. He'll twist the word of God. And then my very last point. Could you help me, please? Last week, I had a tape recorder in my head. But it was saying put downs. And I've been carrying this put down since I was elementary, middle school, high school, to Saturday night. But it was from somebody that I knew pretty well, and they said I didn't have a brain. It hurt. But I have learned, I will continue to say good things to myself, because this is the temple of the temple. This is my temple. If I'm not saying good things about my temple, I'm not doing the right thing. But our body is a temple of the Lord. But I am so joyful. I will take joy better than happiness any day.
That's good.
So, he who refreshes others will also be refreshed. Proverbs.
Amen. Thank you, Amy, for sharing this. Ron, is my video ready?
Is
the sound ready? Just hang on. Make sure the sound's ready. Do we have... Okay. Pause it. Stop it. All right. Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
I have more.
I better sit down.
There's more. We've got Mary Ellen, possibly.
Awesome.
Yes. Guys, this is the sermon today, all right? Testimonies.
Well, mine's going to be short, but I guess the first thing that really was so special to me was just the way we were greeted when we even came in the evening.
Yes.
Laura and Peggy put hand lotion on our hands and prayed over us, and it just really set the tone for the evening. I really appreciated that. And then later in the evening, you know, Kendra and Peggy and Laura washed our feet. That was a very unexpected surprise, but it was very meaningful. It was a beautiful experience, and I really appreciated that. And I was in and out of the kitchen, so I didn't hear all of the talks. I heard bits and pieces here and there. But the clip that was shown of The Chosen was very special to me. And it really showed us how God treats his children and his women. And it was just such a good visual of what you had shared about God's extravagant love. And I think it just helped me to think again about how much God really does love us. And if we know that love, then, you know, then we can believe in his goodness, and we can believe in him taking care of us during hard times. And I think we need to really understand that and make a declaration that we believe this while the times are good, because then when times get hard, we already have those beliefs in our heart, and we know for sure that God is going to be with us.
Amen.
So
that's good. Thank you.
Jomel.
I just want to say I am rooted.
That's right. You are.
Okay? God is good. I haven't always been as faithful as I'd like to, but I try to be, you know, in church all the time. And I've been... when Kendra washed our feet, my feet, I said, "I've got fungus toes. You sure you want to do this?" And she said, "Yeah." And I thought, "Oh wow, that surprised me." But God is good. He's been with me for almost 48 years. That's about as old as you are. Okay. And He chose me. Mm-hmm. He chose me. I didn't choose him.
Come on.
He chose me. He came to me. And it, I mean, it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I was on the road of destruction. And I know that now I am a king's kid.
Yes.
And I am a daughter. And I am an heir to the throne.
Yes.
Because he is king.
Yes.
And I'm just excited. I can't wait to go home.
Mm.
You know? I just wished he'd come back and take us all home. Because I've had to struggle the last few years. I lost a son. I had breast cancer twice. I had a double mastectomy. I've had altogether 4 back operations. My first one was in 2010. And then I had 3 within a 9-month period. And everything, it's just like I'm, you know, don't get old, you young people. Because it ain't fun. I mean, I felt totally useless to God and Jesus. And it's really hard sometimes. But I try. I talk to him all the time. I complain a lot.
That's good.
You would too. You have been through what I've been through. But I'm his daughter. He's my father. And it's awesome.
That's so good.
And you ladies that didn't come, come next year. It's awesome. The food was great. Thank you guys for serving us and ladies for all the good food. It was just great. I enjoyed it.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Jomel. Thank you for being vulnerable.
All right, we've got Janet. Yeah, thank you, Sam, Mary Ellen, and Janet, who are in the kitchen, as well as Pauline for the decorating and the snacks. Thank you so much. It was such a lift off my shoulders that I didn't have to think about that. And you helped accomplish the vision that I had for this weekend. So thank you so much.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The weekend was tremendous. I didn't get to be in here all the time, but the times I was here was good. Especially the foot washing times. Now, I have to tell y'all, I wear a compression hose up past my knees. So I was like, what am I going to do? So I had my hands washed and prayed over, which was really a very meaningful time for me.
That's good.
It just showed me that it doesn't really matter what disabilities you may or may not have, God can still use that situation. The thing that impressed me this weekend was I saw the body of Christ in action in a way that I haven't seen it in action for a while. Everybody had their part. There were the teachers. There were the people who were listening and taking notes. We had different responsibilities. We were in the kitchen. And Sam was wonderful. He might be a guy, but don't let him fool you. He knows that kitchen. And it was just really great, wasn't it? And then people from my small group stepped up. Jomel taught me how to make her green beans. Mm-hmm. And it was just a very neat experience to watch the hand of the Lord bring us all together and learning about putting down our roots. We put down our roots a little further. Now, I'm going to soon be 80. and I accepted Jesus when I was 12, I have had a good life. It's not always been easy. I've gone through some real struggles, but God is faithful.
Amen. Hallelujah. He is faithful.
And back in the sound booth, we had Ricardo and Ron. And Ron wanted to share his perspective.
Should we bring you the mic, Ron, or are you coming up? He's coming.
He's coming.
That's good.
Ron came Friday, spent all evening with us, and then all day Saturday helped us clean up. Such a blessing to have you with us. Thank you, Ron.
I know some of you are wondering what happened with the seats right here, but look how fast I got to the altar. Yeah, so I came in Friday night. I came in yesterday. I helped behind the scenes and in the kitchen to kind of help get things moving and let the ladies just focus on what y'all came here to do. And I got a little something out of it myself. Night before the night even began on Friday, Kendra pulled me aside with Peggy and Laura, and they prayed over me. You know, because we all carry things, not just into the weekends like this, but we carry things all the time. Some of them you can see, not all of them you can. We got to work on what's in here, not just what's out here. So yeah, I brought my own things into the weekend, and I had my own little private moments back there. You know, when I had a moment when nobody was in the sanctuary, I waited till everybody left because I wanted it just to be me and Jesus. And I wrote my own things down that I was carrying, you know, my own unforgiveness and unbelief and just bad things that I didn't need, wrong believing that I'm carrying around sometimes. And I wrote them down, and I put them in the shredder. You know, we had some prayers that were up there, just to reflect and find things that we needed to let go of. And I've got a bigger testimony, but I'm going to save it for later, and Ricardo will tell you why for next Sunday. Yeah, I got something out of it as well, you know, because the season of growth is constant, and it's for everybody, right? We are all children of God. So this season of growth is for everybody. But, you know, sometimes we need to have these weekends like this where, you know, the ladies can come together because there are some things that the women need to focus on. There are some things that the men need to focus on. But then there are times where we can all focus on things together because we all have some universal hurts that we need to heal from. So it was a wonderful weekend. I was blessed to have the privilege to be a part of it and to assist you all. On your journey, your edifications that you went through, it was beautiful.
That's good. Thank you, Ron.
So Linda is going to be our last testimony, but before her, is there anybody else, Lori, that you wanted to share? Linda Gray. Okay. Yay.
Well, this was my third retreat, and each one just gets better and better.
That's good.
Not only being here, but talking and sitting with people that I don't talk to every Sunday, making some new friends, the quiet time, the soul searching, the prayer time. And speaking of prayers, most of y'all know that I was in the hospital for over 3 weeks in January, and y'all's prayers and thoughts got me through and guided the doctors to finally correct the problem and made me well again. And that is such a blessing. And this church has been a blessing. The phone calls and the food and the thoughts have made such a difference in my life.
That's good. Thank you, Linda. Thanks for sharing.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For any of you that don't know me, I attended this church back in 2012 until 2016. And I just want to say I am so blessed to have been able to be here this weekend. And I planned my trip down around this weekend.
That's good.
Plus, just to see everybody, and from the moment I walked in that door Friday night, every single person in this church welcomed me like I had never left. And I will never, ever forget any of the people here.
That's good.
And Kendra, the praying over me just meant so much to me. And the talk on the Holy Spirit just lifted my soul. It was wonderful. And I just want to say thank you. And Satan tried to get me at the last minute not to come, because he killed the brakes in my car, and my car almost caught fire. So I said, I'm leaving it home, and I'm leaving the troubles behind, and that's what I've done. And I thank you all very much.
Thank you for sharing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Anybody else?
Can I come up here? I'll hold the mic for you.
So I got a lot this weekend, but the biggest thing was deciding to come. I have two kids, and I thought, oh, a toddler and a baby, how am I going to be considerate of everyone else? And my mom and Priscilla both said, well, we'll come. We'll help you. And I thought, oh, making everybody not get what they need to get out of it because of me. But I just felt like I needed to come and make myself available and be an atmosphere for my girls. And so I was sitting there just, I think it was Friday night, and I forget what happened, but somebody was making noise or something, and God told me, he said, I'm louder than your kids. He said, if I want somebody to hear something, your kids are not a distraction. He said, I'm louder than anything. Mm. So if he wants to say something, doesn't matter what's going on in life, doesn't matter who's around you, doesn't matter circumstances of the world, if you're open and you're listening, he'll speak. And so I was just this weekend, I was refreshed and just encouraged to, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, doesn't matter what's going on, it doesn't matter. Just keep your heart open.
That's right.
And he will speak.
Oh, that's right. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Keep your heart open.
Marcel, Lori, want me to bring it to you? You're coming?
Sure, I'll take it to her.
Okay,
oh, she's coming. All right. She's coming.
And see the love that was around. And I especially want to thank Sam and Ron, Mary Ellen and Janet and Pauline. That did such a nice job. I couldn't come Friday night, but just from the beginning, you just felt the love. I didn't get my feet washed. I'll get them washed next one time. So, but then Ricardo started off with forgiveness and how we need to forgive because it just destroys us, and how it worked in his life. And so I thought, well, I don't have anybody to forgive. But then I thought about even coming up in my childhood. I thought about things that happened. But I don't dwell on them, but once in a while they come to me. So I wrote those down, and I'll say, I forgive you for that. But then Laura, I can't remember them all, but she talked to us about closing the door to sin, confessing the sin, denouncing the lie, and a declaration to claim the truth. And then we have these doors that we allow sin in, willful sin, willful thoughts, unforgiveness. And then we talked about Satan, our inner vows, spoken or unspoken, judgment and generational curses, spiritual hurt, and the curses need to be acknowledged and thrown away and not let them continue into your family. So
that's good.
I can't remember everything, but it was really nice. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you yourself.
All right.
Praise
Are
the
we
Lord.
Good? We good?
Okay. I am great. Don't think I'm not. I'm on the mend and I'm doing well. I just had a super time this weekend. I told some of them yesterday. I think I've been to every encounter. I think I missed one for years. And they have a similar thread throughout. But you can't really say that you have learned it all any one time. Each time you come, it is like your life is like many layers. And I looked at, we had a wonderful journal that we could follow through our healing time. And I looked at some of those and said, you know, I dealt with that time. I dealt with that the other time. And so I just stood on the word, those are done. I don't have to deal with those. But then there are always new layers that seem to come up. And I like the analogy that this was like a spa. All right, ladies, I don't know who dozen of us, we all enjoy a little pampering time, whether it's your nails or the hot.